Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour, our daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges, helps them to learn their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and today I am joined with the ever-present Philippe Siragi. And we are here today to speak on the topic of the week, which is the doctrine of suffering. The doctrine of suffering. So today we have a quote to start us off. We heard the doctrine of suffering yesterday. We heard Pastor Justin, Pastor Paul Angelonis, and Sebastian Palmieri speak yesterday on whether or not suffering was necessary. And today we're moving past that question, and we're just going to talk about it kind of as, and we're going to use the word pain maybe more than suffering. We're going to talk about pain as a tool in the hands of God. And we have a quote here from C.S. Lewis. It's a very highly... highly quoted sentence. It's from his book, The Problem of Pain. It says, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain." It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I always love this quote, and he knows what he's talking about because it's interesting, the context a little bit about his life. He got married later in life with an American writer. Her name was Joy, and that's why he wrote the book Surprised by Joy. So it's a play on word.
Nice.
And he lost her rather quickly. And then he always compared pain and with grief as the same thing. He learned a lot in his life, and he realizes that I'm paraphrasing the idea. It's not completely, it's simplified, oversimplified maybe. But he had like a really strong conversion later in his life. Also, he was already an adult. You know, was already a professor at university, and he had this intellectual conversion in one way. He considered himself the most reluctant convert in all of England because he entered the kingdom of God kinking and screaming. But he was converted in his mind, like he had no reason. And then later on in his life, when he heard about pain, that's why he says the megaphone, because God drew his attention. You know, and that also was very useful in his ministry as an apologist because he was able to actually speak about pain as being something that is a tool, as you said earlier, in the hand of God. But I like what you said when we were talking before the show started, that you said that it's a tool, but it's not a weaponized tool by God.
Right.
God is not using pain for his own pleasure, right? He's not using pain because he thinks, it's okay, well, I'm just going to have fun with this.
Right.
He's using pain because, unfortunately, that's how we learn. You know, and physically it's the same thing. Like if we didn't have pain, I asked this question to a doctor one day because I've heard this before. Like if we didn't have nerve endings, you know, and he said, well, it would be a catastrophe. You would have infections and burn and all the place. And you know, like an untreated burn that you wouldn't see because you don't have nerve endings, then you would end up in death because like a third degree burn or something is something that can infect rather quickly. That's how people usually die also when they're, you know, with, you know, when they have like serious burns.
Yeah.
So the point here is that the pain in our body is used as a way, even though it's bothering, it shows us something is wrong.
Yeah.
And in life, in a way, it's the same thing. Like because yesterday we said, like in a way, like when I have, if I have, I have this quote somewhere, I'm going to find it in a split second, hopefully, if my phone opens up. I just thought about this the other day, and I kept that, you know, as a, because I wanted to think about this, not today, but it just came to me. It says, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. And I think it's the idea of pain, you know, that God is, this is not who we are. This is not where we're supposed to be. There is a curse in this world.
Yeah.
But then God will redeem, you know, this world through pain to get our attention. Because we need something more than just the pleasures of the world.
Yeah.
So
makes me think of the word longing also.
Yes.
Like a longing or a yearning.
Yes.
All these words that relate to the idea of desire. But we're talking about pain in the same way today. I find it very interesting what you just said. I think this is a very important point that our listeners you know, could grab a hold of this. The medical field talks about pain in a positive manner. Like if you do not experience pain, you will not know when your body is in trouble.
Yeah.
You will not know when to seek serious medical attention or to make minor adjustments to your diet or your exercise. Or like, man, I personal story. I started exercising again for the first time. This is a horrible admittance I'm about to make, a horrible admission. I started exercising. I joined a gym again for the first time in almost 2 years.
Okay.
Last week. And on Wednesday, I did a regular set of exercises that I used to do all the time.
Yeah.
And I finished them. And the next day, I literally felt like I could not pick my arms up over my shoulders. I felt like my 2-year-old child, if I had to pick her up out of her crib, it was like, for a split second to let her almost fall to the ground and have her feet touch the ground because I could not hold her there. Like that was a real sort of pain in my muscles.
Yeah.
Telling me like, hey, you went way too
you're not in shape.
you went back to the thing that you thought you used to know how to do.
Yeah.
But hey, your body's not the same. You need to take it easy. Mm. So like pain was a very clear indicator to me that, oh, I need to switch some things up. I need to start a little slower. Like that's just a really common example of the idea of pain. Now we're going to talk about it more from the theological perspective, and we're going to talk about it like what the Bible has to say about it. We could start in Genesis chapter 3, maybe. But before we do that, I'm just going to point out two definitions that C.S. Lewis gives in The Problem of Pain for this word pain. So first definition is simply a physical sensation, just a physical sensation like you lift too hard and your arms are killing you and you can't lift your child up out. You feel a physical sensation trying to do that. Or it can be the other definition, any physical or mental experience that a person dislikes.
Yeah.
So that can almost be very subjective for us to define what pain is objectively.
Yeah.
But we're gonna look at Genesis 3. So when we look at Genesis 3, Philippe, what do we have going on? What's taking place? How do we find pain at the very beginning of the Bible?
Well, pain is ushered in, you know, in the fallen world as a consequence of sin, right? So Genesis 3, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows the story, but starting verse 14, I think, right? This is when pain comes in, you know. And it's interesting because before we read that, I'm just thinking, okay, well, you know, people ask this question sometimes, and I see that, you know, in the apologetics, you know, the people ask, well, you know, why is there so much evil or pain in the world? So it's a deep question. It's not the subject today. Maybe it will be one day. But it's interesting, like, even though I don't understand, like, I don't have a human answer for this.
Yeah.
I have a theological answer for this in one way. It is, like, there is, obviously, if God is who he is according to the Bible, then he has more wisdom than I do. So whether he decided that the consequences of sin was going to be death and pain, whether it's a good idea or not, I have to trust that it was the only way. And or like Gottfried Leibniz, like a Christian philosopher, used to say, like, this is the best of all possible worlds, meaning that we have the freedom of free will that God gave us in his creation. And then with all these complex factors that God could put into a world, this is the best of all possible worlds. So when I read this, I could question God's wisdom and asking, why did he do this? Or I could just go along with the thing is there's obviously something I'm missing because I'm finite as a human being. So we have to understand that, right?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So the woman says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So they all blame each other. And in verse 14, so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast in the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put in enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Which is in itself like an amazing prophecy, but we don't have the time for this.
Not going into it today, but it is a really important part of our Bibles.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Yeah. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. So here goes the pain. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, verse 17, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground of your sake, for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. But both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So that ushers in the idea that pain is part of the plan.
Yeah, part of the plan, part of the consequences of the fall. I really want to back you up on this point, but I'm going to do it with a pop culture reference. So look out, cover your ears. If you're not into this, I don't know what to tell you. But here's a really good point from a recent movie series that came out over the past maybe like decade. It's been slowly releasing in parts and segments, and it's the Avengers series.
Okay.
The Avengers are the group of superheroes that get together to fight off, you know, the evil in the world trying to conquer the galaxies and the universe. And in the last, spoiler alert, okay, spoiler alert, in the last two movies, in Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, you have Doctor Strange, a character who can play out every single way that time can go from a certain point.
Yeah.
He has this like ability through this little amulet that he carries that can show him all the different many millions of possibilities in which, you know, whether or not they can be saved or whether or not they'll be destroyed. And the same way that we might question God and say, well, is this really the best way to include pain and suffering? Is this really the best way? This happens in that movie. And Doctor Strange, like, he has this one movie, this one line where he says, yep, this is the only way.
Yeah.
And basically what he does is he sacrifices himself and half of the universe's population. And they all have to disappear for a while because they all have to be annihilated for a while in order for the plan to work, in order for the redemption of all of humanity, of all of the universes, everything to work out. So whenever we question God in that way, it's like we have no problem trusting in it if it's in a movie series, if it's in some fictional work. But really, this is at the heart of all of us. This question is at the heart of all of us. And we have to trust God that he does know all the different possibilities that could play out.
Yeah.
And he knows without a doubt that including pain and suffering in our lives is the best way, the only way for the redemption through his son, Jesus Christ, to take place. Remember, when we talk about the character and nature of God, he desires that all men would be saved.
Yes.
He is slow to wrath. He is slow to anger. He is not willing that any man should perish.
Yes.
And that's the mindset behind introducing pain, introducing the consequence of sin.
Yeah.
The ultimate consequence of sin, Romans 6:23, the wages, what we earn, right? It's death. It's like the ultimate form of pain. It's death. But there's a redemptive quality in it in some way. So like we look at that and we may wonder, we may question God's goodness, God's character, but ultimately we have to humble ourselves before God and say, okay, you know. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, you know?
Yeah.
So we could never figure it out on our own, but because this is the stage, this is the way it has been set for us.
Yeah.
Like, this is the direction we go in. Pain is real. Pain teaches us. Pain warns us. Pain guides us. Pain, pushes us away from a cliff in a sense, you know? And that's what we have to go with.
Yeah, I like the idea of if we go back to your pop culture.
Oh, let's go. I could talk about it.
I'm sure you could. well, the idea is like, you know, do fans of would fans understand Doctor Strange's decision completely? They love the movie. Of course, they can defend
him. And he's like their hero. He's one of their heroes.
Yeah,
one of the Avengers.
So the submission to the fan of that amazing character who knows more is the same thing that we are saying as Christians we're doing with God, except he's not a fictional character and it doesn't need an amulet to know the future.
No, of course
not.
Yeah.
So what we're asking, what we're telling people as Christians, this is exactly what people are agreeing with when they watch a movie and they realize, okay, that was a good decision. I understand how many casualties out there, but, you know, so it's exactly what the thing. And the other thing, the difference, though, also, in a way, that that's one thing that, and I think it's one of the topics this week about Christ suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christ is not, and God is not unfamiliar with suffering.
No,
it's not
like
he's asking us to be in pain and he's over up there in the heaven in his throne. He gave his life and what we call the passion of Christ, which is very much used in the Catholic Church as a way of saying, you know, like there his bruises, it's one understanding of it. Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
But the suffering of Christ is a big part of our theology. So it's like it's not that God is immune or he's completely unfamiliar with pain. You know, we cannot say as a deist, we'd say God is up there, he puts us in a mess, and then he's happy about it. It's not the case at all.
Yeah.
Right?
No, yeah, Christ is the high priest who suffered with us in every single way that we would suffer. He faced all the sins that we would face, yet he was without sin.
Yeah.
Like he faced all the different temptations, yet he was without sin.
Yeah.
So he can relate to us 100% in our pain and our suffering because he had to go through all of it. It even says in the book of Hebrews that he learned obedience through his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a template for us. It's like, hey, as we're going through life, we're going to suffer. We're going to feel pain. We're going to feel that physical. We're going to have that physical or mental sensation or experience that shows us that, hey, maybe this is not the direction to go in. Maybe what God has been saying all along, I can actually obey that and it will produce fruit in my life.
Yeah.
And even fruit must be produced through pain. It says in the Gospels, unless a kernel of wheat fall to the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit.
Yep.
So it takes like this part of our lives where we're actually embracing it. We're actually embracing the pain to be able to say that God has something more for us. And one way we talked about this whenever we were planning for this show, we talked about sanctificational pain.
Yes, yes.
So sanctificational pain in a sense is like growing pains. You're a kid, you're a kid and you're going through puberty and you go through these growth spurts and your knees start to hurt or your ankles start to hurt or different parts of your body start to hurt because you're growing quickly and it causes pain and unrest in your body and your body has to catch up. It's the same way with our Christianity. Mm-hmm. We go through these experiences, these trials, these tribulations. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, and we have growing pains.
Yeah.
What do you think? Sanctificational pain. Verses that we
have? So I have some things we've been discussing. Like it's part of these. So we said pain is a consequence of sin. We read the chapter. There could be a lot more to be said about it. But then for sanctifications, I think we can go to a few verses. How about that?
Okay.
Let's go to Romans 5.
You're the boss.
I am.
I'm just gonna suggest things, and then you tell me what to do.
I don't know about that. But
why not?
Because you don't have a French accent when you read, so you read better than I do.
I mean, I'll read it if you tell me to.
How
you
about
just
Romans
tell me what
5,
to do.
3, 4, 3 through 5.
Romans 5.
3 through 5.
Verses 3 through 5.
Yeah. We could talk about a little bit.
An example of a sanctificational pain.
Yes.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us.
Yeah. So the tribulations we're going through, I mean, as you said earlier, like it's okay, so pain is used by God, but not weaponized.
Mm-hmm.
And the God is, it's, If I had to summarize the Bible in one word, I think I would use redemption, right?
Oh, yeah.
As a word.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Because we could focus on creation, yes, on the fall, yes, on the mess, yes, but everything that God does in the Bible is redemption. I think there is 1,189 chapters in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There is 2 chapters on the creation, the 1 chapter on the fall, and 1,186 on the redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So some people debate that, saying, well, no, look at that. There's so much mess in the Bible. There's discipline. Yes, but all this discipline is actually redemption.
Mm-hmm.
When God disciplines Israel and then sends them in deportation through Assyria in the 8th century B.C., and then in Babylon in 586 B.C., it's all because he has a plan. He actually tells Jeremiah, in 7 years, he'll come back. So redemption is a big part of the theme that is the main theme of the Bible. And I'm you think this way and you also realize, okay, the pain is not weaponized, but pain is a way of redemption.
Yeah.
And as the quote we read earlier, it is God's megaphone to draw attention to what's the phrasing exactly. I want
to
go back.
To rouse a deaf world.
A deaf world.
Yeah.
So God is using pain not because it's one way of doing it. It's the only way to arouse a deaf world. Like we are deaf, I like the beginning of the quote, like God whispers in our pleasures. When we get something, it's like, I think we complain more than we're thankful. That would be another way of saying what he says.
Sure.
I'm not thankful to God for my blessings. I could, but I'm not. But I'm not complaining to God, you know, when I have something wrong in my life. Do I go to prayer when my day is beautiful, or do I go to prayer more when my day is horrible? Mm-hmm. Then I would be thinking the most Christians, including me, that's what we would do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point here, is like the pain of God is one way of that God will use for our own growth, because it's all about redemption. And in that mean redemption is redeeming us from hell, of course. But it's also sanctification is part of who we are as a Christian. And
yeah.
This is one way to get our attention is through trials and tribulations. And
yeah. Yeah, I think if you look at the Psalms, I think more of the Psalms are penitential Psalms than they are thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. There's like three main types of Psalms. It's thanksgiving, Psalms of praise, and Psalms of penitence, penitence is a good word.
Yeah.
And it means like there's more trouble that the psalmist is speaking and calling out to God about than there is things that he's thankful for. You think about Psalm 103 where it says, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Let's read it, Psalm 103. Mm-hmm. And I think it's verse 3 is the one that sticks out to me. Trying to navigate an unfamiliar Bible here, but it's got like four different versions on each page.
Stole the Matt's Bible.
No.
He doesn't know where it is.
Oh no, oh, I'm coming after you. Okay.
Yes, we both come after you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Yes.
Like there's a really great, healthy practice to have in your life to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 5 talked about that too. It says like in your tribulations are working patience.
Yes.
Your tribulations are working perseverance.
Yes.
They're working hope. And then it like concludes with hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is then shed abroad in your heart.
Yes.
And it's like a really beautiful thing that happens. You like die to yourself, die to yourself, die to yourself. But all the while you're dying to yourself, God is adding to you. God is adding to you as you are like letting go more and more of yourself.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, hey, our chat lines are open. You can chat with us on Facebook or on YouTube Live. We are here. You can also give us a call. The toll-free number is 1-800-338-7060, or you can call us the local number 410-483-3700.
Yeah.
A passage that's similar.
Can I add something about that? I think the point that we can make to people listening is that I think you and I are both very excited about what we're saying.
Yeah.
So
We can talk. Did
so
you notice?
The point being is that you may think, okay, well, I'm going to let them talk. But actually, you know, it's interesting to have your interactions, your input, and then, you know, so don't hesitate. We're there because we're prepared. We have a lot of things to say. We're very excited about the show every single time. I'm sure you can tell because we're having fun. But also, like, we very much welcome, you know, your input.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Wow, that was so much better than anything I just said there. Thank you for doing that.
I was going to read another verse, but
go ahead.
No. Are we sitting in tribulations?
Huh?
Because what you said, I think, can be seen in Psalm 1967.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, go ahead.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Mm. That's amazing how the psalmist is actually saying here is that, yeah, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like the word of God, you know. Like I'm going back to the word because it's one of those moments where I realize it's like you were saying the pain, for example, what you go to the gym, they go out after 2 years, so you realize wow, I'm out of shape, or if I eat something, you know, and then you get older, I think you start to realize like your body doesn't
can't
work
eat
as
pizza
well.
Every other day,
especially in the
I
evening.
Really want to, but you can't.
No, you can't.
You have crazy dreams. You wake up and never mind. All right, anyway.
Yeah, it's true. But the point is, you do something like okay. I used to play rugby when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, I liked rugby more than soccer.
Cool.
Yeah, people find it strange as you know, friends being one of the best.
Baseball more than anything, so, yeah.
And once I played rugby with a bunch of young people that was back in France. I think it was between my 2 years here and then I came back to, mm-hmm. you know, to work on staff. But so here we are, you know, we play and then I take the ball and running, and then I jump, you know, like to put a try on, and then this, and then anyway, I fall on, and then oh my God, the pain! And then when I was 18 years old, 20 years old,
nothing.
I would nothing. You know,
pop
I would
right
go
back
even
up.
If it, a bruised rib, I wouldn't even care. Just move on. Like this time, like, man, I was like bending over and like trying to see I into the hospital. So I mean, it's completely out of shape. The point being is like also this pain realizes like, okay, it's a wake up call. Like you're not 20 anymore. You know, so the point is, even those things are funny, you know, in a way, but they are like indicators of what we were saying today. It's like the pain is not, you know, like Francois and I, my wife, you know, we're in contact with someone who's going through a very, very difficult time, a dear friend of ours, and it's hard for her, you know, trial after trial after trial, and I am sure I would be in the same position if I were in her position, but trial after trial after trial, I realized that the objectivity is gone because the pain is too present. And one thing we have to remember, if we want to survive, you know, in this world, like pain is one way that God, you know, uses to help to draw our attention, because otherwise, if I don't see any purpose in pain, I don't see any purpose in anything. Because in this world, we shall have tribulations.
Yeah,
that's true. So and trials.
John 16:33.
Yeah,
right? It's like guaranteed to us. Think about. Let's see. Where was I going with this idea?
I don't know.
You just spurred it on, and it was there. Oh, okay. The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we say in the Lord's Prayer is deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
Deliver us from evil, okay? Think about that for a second. You ask God to deliver you from evil. Now, how do you think God delivers us from evil?
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that he uses pain.
Yes.
I would say that he inflicts pain into our lives, not weaponizes it. He's using it the way a shepherd corrects his sheep. So we have the picture in Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, it says in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? For three reasons. Mm-hmm. For you are with me,
mm-hmm.
your rod and your staff,
yes.
they comfort me. Now, what's the rod or the staff to the shepherd and the sheep? If you're a sheep and the shepherd uses his rod or his staff on you, it can be a light deterrence of motion to like the left or the right, or it can be like a little whack on the back or the butt or the head or wherever to get your attention, to get you back with the rest of the flock.
Yes.
Like that's an example of pain being used by a shepherd to keep the sheep from evil. That's why they fear no evil. That's why we fear no evil if we have our shepherd with us, the chief shepherd of our souls, bishop of our souls, in 1 Peter chapter 2, which is God, which is Jesus Christ, then we don't have anything to worry about. This is like a real use, a real advantage of pain.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird thing to say. What do you guys think about it? An advantage of pain. What do you think, Philippe?
I agree, because I'm thinking about this verse in Psalm 116, you know, verse 15. Like, and that's another way of seeing, like, you know, God's heart in redemption and the way he does it. He says, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Like, you know, it's like, and then 72:14, if I got that right. Psalm 72:14, they have the same idea a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do we have here? It says, "He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight."
Mm.
Like God is not, you know, God is not this Machiavellic, you know, person up in heaven enjoying the fact that we have pain. You know, that's a very atheistic idea that some philosophers decided to depict God as the, you know, the evil one in the, you know, in heaven. It's you know, just enjoying our pain. Like, it's precious to God, and God is not inflicting pain; he's allowing pain, which is very different. And I mean, of course, God is sovereign, but the point being is that God is not going around and, you know, we see that in the Book of Job, right? What do we see in the Book of Job?
Oh,
we see that the devil is asking permission.
Yeah.
So one could argue, well, you know, okay. Well, he did allow that to happen. Yes, he did. But he didn't go around and say, move out. He didn't tell the devil, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
God never volunteered. He knew he would not volunteer to do it. Now, he had a greater plan, and I think we plan to discuss on that for, you know, later on. But I think it's amazing to realize that God is annoyed at the devil at some point.
Yeah.
He's saying, hey, hold on for a second. You know, you know, right? You want to go there now?
I'm going.
You're going there. Okay.
I was thinking of something else, but I'm going.
Okay.
I am submitting to you before I find myself in pain of not knowing what to say next.
Oh, you're funny.
All right.
Yes.
Two times, right?
Yeah.
Two times Satan comes to God.
Yes.
And the first time, you know, he makes up all this stuff about Job. Oh, you know, he wouldn't really be your servant. He wouldn't really listen to you
yes.
if this happened in his life. But you have a hedge of protection around him. This is my devil voice. You have a hedge of protection around him. No. And so God goes, okay, all right, game on, devil. And not that Job's life is a game in any way. He's not. It's not that attitude. I'm just portraying that here. But he lets the devil do what he thinks would be sufficient to get Job to defy God, to turn away from God. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then the devil comes right back to God and he says to him, okay, all right, but how about this? How about you let me hurt him
yes.
and you let me destroy him? And God is like, all right, listen, do whatever you're going to do. Just don't kill him.
Yeah.
You know, just don't kill him and let's see what happens. And yes. and God already knows what's going to happen.
Yes.
But there is a much more important, and again, that word redemption comes in when we look at the book of Job. There's a much more redemptive plan taking place in Job's life than there is this little contest or game between God and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really what's the verse that we were talking about? Maybe it's towards the end of Job where it says, "My ears?
My ears?
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, I mean it's 42, right?"
Yeah, we don't have to get there right now, but I'm taking us there. What do you think? What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, before my ears have heard you, and my eyes have seen you. You know, it's 42.
Oh, okay, 42 verse 5.
Yeah,
I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you.
Yeah.
So all of this crazy circumstances take place in Job's life. He loses his livelihood. He loses his family.
Yeah.
He even loses his wife in a sense where the wife gives up and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Like, why don't you just give up? And the whole time Job is like hanging on and he starts to like, you know, argue with God. He starts to like call out God for different things. And God finally reveals himself to him.
Yeah.
Like through his three friends, God did not reveal himself to him. Through the fourth friend, maybe God revealed himself to him. But finally, God speaks to him out of the whirlwind, Job chapters 37 or 38 to the end.
Yeah.
And Job's realization, redemptive moment is, okay, I thought I knew who you were,
yeah.
but now I really see you, now I really know who you are, and now I'm wholly in tune with you. And the end of Job's life is better than the beginning.
Yes.
The end of Job's life is, like, everything has been redeemed. Everything that he lost, it's, like, given back. Everything that was taken away is restored.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of like the Christian life. When you lose your life, Jesus says, when you lose your life, then you gain it.
Yes.
That's like an amazing part of pain.
Yeah.
That when we lose our life little by little, inconvenience after inconvenience, hardship after hardship, big trial, little trial, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
God restores it. God gives something back. God fills it with something greater. The eternity that he put in our hearts in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, like, he fills it with his eternal self.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the beauty of that story, again, Job, is like it's a full book of amazing story to see how God is actually having a purpose behind suffering. So mm-hmm. the point was, what we're making is that God did not inflict the pain in Job. He actually restricted the pain that the devil would have inflicted to him. So he
yeah.
allowed it. And at the end, you know, it's like, it's amazing because God never really addresses the questions that Job had. He actually asks his own questions, puts mm-hmm. him back in his place.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're seeing in the beginning. God is sovereign. So maybe Job realized for the first time, well, yeah, I could complain, but I could also trust God in my suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, as we were saying, you know, Job 42 is that, well, he had a knowledge of God. Now he knows who he is really.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, who wins? Job is restored.
Mm-hmm.
He knows God better than he's ever known him before. And the devil is defeated.
And he doesn't say another thing.
No.
The rest of the book, he doesn't say another
no,
thing.
No, he doesn't show up anymore.
Nope.
So that's the point here, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Where do we go from here? We do have a comment or a question from Cody, one of our awesome producers. He writes in, can pain cause people to become familiar with the things of God? And then he writes again, I think Job's life is a good example of my question. Yeah, I think so. I think that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
As Job is going through all these different things, he is learning new sides of the character and nature of God.
Yes.
How about Paul? We talked about this example when we were preparing. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul asks three times for the Lord to remove this thorn from his flesh. And what's the reason that God gives that he's not going to remove the thorn?
Yeah.
It's that his grace is sufficient for Paul.
Yeah.
And like, as we're learning who God is and what he can do in our lives, his grace is sufficient. There's a really cool Greek word in that phrase. I think it's the word sufficient, and it's the word archaeo in the Greek. His grace is all powerful, is an unyielding strength, something that cannot be penetrated.
Yeah.
His grace is sufficient for you in your life. You're going through something, you have a sin that besets you, you have a messenger of Satan sent to buffet you, as Paul describes it. You have trials in your life that you think you're never going to get over. It's like an opportunity to look to God's grace. Yeah. I have this really cool quote from Tony Evans. Can I share it with you?
No, of course, go ahead.
It's not so much a quote as it was a sermon. It's a whole sermon.
So you're quoting the sermon.
I'm gonna quote one of.
It's a quote.
Okay. All right. I just don't have it in quotes, and I don't remember everything exactly as he said.
So it's not verbatim, but it's a paraphrase.
I think we're covering our bases, but yes. All right. So Tony Evans says often we mishandle our trials, our tribulations, and our pain. Mm-hmm. And he gave three ways that we commonly mishandle our trials, tribulations, and pains. He said, the first thing we do, one of the first things we do, you could do any one of these three things, but the first example he gave is we give up. If we face something tough, we turn tail and run. We just give up. We throw our hands in the air and say, there's nothing I can do. I can't help it. No other way to go about it. Andy, yes, that's a great verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He does give us a way of escape. Remember earlier in that verse, it says, God is faithful. He will not have us go through something more than we can bear. This is a great verse to think about if we want to give up. Thank you for sending that verse in, Andy.
Perfect timing.
We give up if we don't know that God has a way of escape for us, if we don't believe that his grace is sufficient for us. The second thing we might do, the second way we might mishandle our trials, tribulations, or pain is we distract ourselves. Mm-hmm. We use this term in biblical psychology at the Bible College called sublimation, where we will literally fill our time with any other possible thing that we can rather than face the dilemma or circumstance that is in front of us. Yes. It's a distraction. We distract ourselves. Anything we can put in front of us to keep us from dealing with it, we sublimate. Third thing we do, also I believe to be incorrect. Tony Evans is preaching about it as an incorrect way. We put on our game face.
Yes.
We say, oh, everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, let your love be without dissimulation in the King James. That's a really fancy King James word to mean, let your love be without a mask on.
Yes.
Let your love be without a hypocritical nature to it. Mm-hmm. Like, don't fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let your love be genuine. Mm-hmm. Job's problems were genuine, and he had genuine reactions to his problems.
Yes.
And that's what caused him to meet God.
Yeah.
So what's the answer for this sermon that Tony Evans gives? He says, you know what we should be doing whenever we go through our trials or tribulations in our pain? You know what Job did? He sought after God. We seek after God. God, what do you have for me in this situation? Yeah. God, what are you trying to teach me? What is this patience or perseverance or hope that you're working into my life? What's going on here?
I like the story, the lesson I think I love to get out of the book of Job, related to what you're saying, is that Job did sought after God, but he didn't do it the religious way. He was mad.
Yeah.
And it's interesting here that when the interaction with his friends are interesting because they have a point. The point is, God being perfect, you must have messed up. That's why you're in this presence. Now, I didn't mess up, which obviously he did. He's a sinner.
Yeah.
But he did everything religiously perfectly. So he's not happy with God. He wants his day in court. That's what he wants.
Okay. Yeah.
I want God to be right here and I want him to face me right now. You know, but the funniest thing at the end is that God does not do that. But he's humble enough to realize, oh, okay, God is God and I'm just a man. But at the end, when God is actually putting things back into normal, he's actually saying Job, his Job, even though he was mad and you could say angry after God, he dealt that with his heart when God spoke to him.
Yeah.
So he was the one that was actually being able to offer sacrifices for the other ones, which God would never accept it because they were legalistic religious in their mindset. So the idea is that, yes, the point I'm trying to make here is that we're not belittling pain by saying, well, it's good for you, you know, it would work out, you know, it's like, no, like, first, that's what we said, it's precious in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. But also we're saying that when we go through something difficult, if you think you're angry, therefore you cannot pray, then that would add pain to your pain.
Yeah.
No, you can go to God and be angry. You can enter boldly through the throne of grace and tell God how you, but then he will answer you, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to like throw it in there quickly. The devil would love for you to use your pain as an excuse not to speak to God. He would love for you to be cut off from him. That was his goal with Job.
I think it was.
His goal with Job was to like cut him off from even trying to fellowship with God, and it totally backfired.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a few more minutes. I'm thinking, could we just maybe summarize? Okay.
Yeah.
Because the idea is that God, what does it mean that God has, God is using pain as his megaphone, right? What have we said so far? We said, well, first it was God's plan to introduce that as a consequence.
It was the only way for redemption to actually take place.
Yeah.
Like the only thing Christ could have done when he came to the earth was suffer.
Yes.
And die for our sins.
Yes.
That was the only possibility for us.
Correct.
Okay, so it had to happen.
Yeah, so we also said that pain is useful in our you know, knowing God better. We use the book of Job and Romans 5, 3-5.
Yeah.
We could have gone to James 1, 3-4 as well.
Yeah.
That's also a very good one.
Yeah.
About the trial of our faith.
Yeah. That's a good one we didn't talk about. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the God of all comfort.
You want to do that?
I actually want to talk about a different one,
okay,
if that's
go
okay.
Ahead.
Can I do that?
Go ahead.
All right.
Well, you quoted it, so it's good.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please read it. The God of all comfort,
yes.
He uses it. Cody wrote in, thank you, this was a great talk about pain.
We're not done yet,
everyone
Cody,
has
okay?
Hold on, Producer Walker.
Okay.
All right, Texas Ranger. All right.
We'll read that at the end.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Maybe one differentiation I want to make, because this is extremely important to our understanding. You don't want to get this conflated or confused. Yeah, take that. Enjoy your bus driving while you're under it, Cody Walker. okay.
Inside joke.
Yeah, all right, I'm sorry. All right, back to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. There's two different types of pain in the world.
Yes.
There is godly pain. There's theos, sorrow, theos lupe, or there's cosmos lupe.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says, if I can find, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death.
Yes.
Like there's a huge difference.
Yes.
We're not talking about the pain that is brought on by, oh man, so many different things that could come after us in the world. So many different things that could be caused by our own indifference and ignorance and things like that. We're talking about godly sorrow. We're talking about the pain that God uses to help guide us into all truth.
Yes,
in a sense. Yeah, I just wanted to make that differentiation.
I love that because what's amazing with God, because we could look at those two different pains and say, well, there's a good pain which God inflicts or allows, and then the bad pain in the world. But God says, you know, like Joseph said to his brothers, Genesis 50:20.
Yes,
you meant it for evil.
So
God
yeah.
meant it for good.
Yeah.
So God is so powerful that he's able to redeem pain inflicted by evil people from the world and turn that into something amazing. Because at the end, God wants our redemption. And if we're saved, he wants our sanctification to happen. So he's going to use and redeem. I think there's many points that, there many times in the Bible we see God is interested in redeeming, you know, the suffering.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of
over and over and over again.
Yes.
Maybe an encouraging verse. You may not think of it encouraging initially, but we'll use it in an encouraging way. I think it's encouraging. Peter says in his first epistle, starting in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Yes.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Mm.
Like the trial of your faith is more precious.
More
we
precious
said it in Psalm 116.
Yes.
Psalm 116, it is precious in the eyes of God and is more precious than gold, which we all cherish and try to get in our own lives. But the suffering that you go through for your faith is even more precious to God and more precious to your life as a believer moving forward. Remember, you are pilgrims in this world. You are strangers in 1 Peter. And we have another world waiting for us, that longing that we were talking about at the beginning that C.S. Lewis quotes about, that longing, that desire tells us we're not made just for this world.
Amen.
But all of this pain, the suffering, all the things that we feel and maybe don't quite always understand, it's leading us to a more intimate relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we can read this comment.
Okay, now we're going to reread Cody Walker's comment as he cues the music. Maybe, I don't know if he wants to do his job or not. Thank you. This was a great talk about pain. I pray and hope everyone has a merry,
merry Christmas.
Mary
instead of Mary.
Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Please don't forget to subscribe on the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us for our next show later on this week as we continue the conversation on the doctrine of suffering. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Amen.
See ya.